Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I got a speeding ticket in the mail yesterday.
In the mail?
Yeah. I think I'm going to just ignore it.
It's Mike Shope.
Where was this?
Spain.
And the Bulldog.
I think if I just lay low, I think I'll get away with it.
Not mention it on the air?
Definitely don't want to talk about it on the air.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I like the sound of this more and more as we go. I'm an outlaw.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. We had some football talk there about a half an hour ago. Longer ago with Sam Monson on the show. Among other things, talking about the possible results of the next round of changes to the kickoff rules. The NFL is like, all right, the 30 wasn't enough. How's the 35 suit you?
They're calling this the even more dynamic kickoff.
Yes, yes.
That's not official.
But also a lot still, some more from yesterday on the Sabres and Kevin Adams press conference, the NHL draft opens Friday night.
We spent largely yesterday dissecting what he said and how he said it. It's a big week in hockey. I mean, the draft is a time when business is normally done. Teams are reshaping rosters, decisions on letting players go and hit free agency. All of that is coming to a head here in the next week. So it is an important time. It's, you know, dejected as we often are about the Sabres, there's a lot going on in hockey.
Let us know what you're thinking, 803-0550 to do so. Here is Dominic with us next. Hi, Dominic.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first time really on the show.
What does really mean?
I don't know. I text sometimes.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, sure. Thank you.
I've traveled for work, and I had you guys, since Delta let us search on YouTube in the seatbacks, I had you guys on the YouTube stream, too, so that was pretty cool.
Great.
On an airplane, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But hey, I just want to say, I have 12 employees under me at work, and if last year we couldn't give raises, and I had to get up in front of them and say, hey, this is awful, and I'm not getting, no one's getting a raise, and I just flat out said, we could do better. This isn't bad, or this is bad. But if Kevin Adams, the way he talked, if he did that in corporate America, man, I mean, employees would either be transferring or no one would want to work for that person. And I just find it frustrating that this guy talks to us like we're like, I can't say the word, but it's terrible. And I think he needs to be media trained. And I think someone in the Sabres organization needs to sit down with him and say, the way you're sounding, you sound like a suck up, So that's just all my two cents. It just drives me nuts. And that's all I got.
Okay. Well, I mean, a lot of people have talked about this, have sounded like that since yesterday and at other times with Adams. Yeah, I think if you're lucky enough to be running that team 5 years in without any real success or even the bare minimum making the playoffs, and on top of that you've got a 14-year playoff drought that your era is a big part of, but it even goes beyond that, of course. I just think you can't not sound humble. I think you just you have to come off as humble. I don't think it's that hard. It shouldn't, but it's just not maybe in him. I mean, he instead was defensive, and you know he's mad. He doesn't like the criticism, and he thinks it's unfair, at least some of it. And that's where he launches off. Yesterday, that happened without even getting a question about what he used as an example of it. So yeah, I mean that's not. The caller is saying it runs deeper, like that employees or players would be, you know, put off by mm-hmm. how he is. I don't know, maybe, but I think in terms of the fans, the last thing Sabres fans want to listen to now is anything that even is the least bit adjacent to, not my fault, and that's palm trees, and that's taxes. And that's a little bit yesterday. The media, yeah. And as we said many times yesterday, the example he used of media misinformation, actually, if he had his finger on the pulse, was something that fans who were in tune with the team might have liked thinking was true.
They would find it encouraging that they would divest themselves of a player who has become very unpopular, largely because of one incident. I mean, his play overall has been disappointing, to be kind, since he signed that massive extension. Massive time-wise. I mean, $4.5 million is like, you know, whatever. It's flipping nickels around in the NHL as far as cap numbers go. But it's not nothing, but it's more the term. And it was after 50-some games. It's just they got a lot ahead of themselves on deciding that this was a key piece. And it really hasn't delivered. And then you have the flashpoint of the Thompson incident against the Devils. And he's a guy on a team that's not very tough top to bottom to begin with, who looks like a guy who should be able to handle some of that for you, especially in a situation like that, which to me should be all hands on deck no matter what, no matter who you are or what your reputation is. And he just took a pass. So that has hurt his standing, Samuelson's standing within the fan base severely. So it's a very awkward guy to like say I'm choosing, I don't know, dying on the hill is not quite right, but like I'm gonna pick a fight on this hill for this piece of land. It's just an odd place to be, because yeah, the fans, if fans saw the report, which really was entirely Frank Cervelli said this on a podcast. It's not like he wrote a story about it or anything, but he said it was out there. A fan would come across and go like, oh, okay, and sort of nod. Like, oh, you know, I hate to have dead money, but they could be better on the ice, you know, with a different guy in that role. Like, that might be encouraging. But instead, he can't wait to put a pin in that balloon. And, yeah, the overall here, I've made the point many times, including again yesterday, the palm trees and taxes comment from last year, while certainly representing fairly the challenges that you are facing, is not a message you want to send to your employees at all. It effectively is telling them, no one wants to come help us, and really, I would replace some of you if they would, but they won't, so you're here. I don't think I'm being too liberal with that. I think that is a way that if I were on that team, that I would perceive that. That is fireable the minute it happened, in my opinion, as someone who's supposed to be leading the organization and setting the tone. You're making the guys that are here who committed long-term, sure, they're being paid handsomely, but they might feel like they're being held here. It's not it's a terrible misstep. It's just terrible. Fireable, I think, but here we are.
Yeah, I think it can be, I feel like I'm often making it sound so easy. I mean, I think a lot of it is. I think where you can get in trouble, whether you're Kevin Adams in this case or us or anybody sort of in life, like you can probably play it safer and be better off just by saying less. There is an instinct to like fill the space even if like you're at a press conference, not just hosting a show, but you want to fill the space, you're trying to get, they're asking for a soundbite. They're often, especially like the TV guys are asking questions. They really don't care what the answer is. It's not even interesting.
They just want 12 seconds for the
news.
They want 40
seconds. They want 30, 40 seconds. So you have the, you know, it's a give and take, but really it is pretty easy to avoid that. I think the one challenge you have, like to the point you keep making about how the players would have heard that, is you're talking to the fans, but also the players. Like they're listening to, or they're going to be listening if it's controversial. Like they're going to know about it.
They're going to hear about it, right?
And so, like in terms of Samuelson, or this is Gergensen's last year. Like he's probably thinking about the player. He knows them, and he's probably thinking of this is a way to defend them, to defend their play, and to show your view on how important they are to your organization. So we would, you know, not exactly the quote, but we would never buy him out. You know, he's important to us. We would never buy him out. And, you know, he's going to hear that or just already know it and feel better.
Yeah.
But he's not somebody, since it was about him, I already gave him a long-term contract. Like, I don't need to worry about his feelings so much, I think. He shouldn't have to worry about his status because of this deal. And if we buy him out, he's going to get the money. And, you know, that's just going to be what we do because this is business. This is not all what Adam should say either. Simply, we talk about everything.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want it to be true that the Sabres talk about everything? Why would you want it to be true of any team? Would you trade this player? Would you buy out this player? What about who can you go get? He does say this often. We have conversations, you know, but that's all he needed. And it's not what happened yesterday because, like as Paul Hamilton put it, be in his bonnet. Like he wanted to fire off against media, against people who are, in his opinion, misinforming the fans. And I don't know, is that ever a good look? Is that ever a good look? Even when like successful coaches and GMs do that, does it ever work? Like Polian, right? Like, does it ever really look good?
It plays with the fans if you're good, if you win. Like Brandon Bean is a hero to a lot of Bills fans for what he did with our morning show.
Really?
I think a lot of fans feel like he's, you know, he's passionate about his guys. He's defending their honor and these smart ass radio guys. What do they know? That kind of thing. Like when it comes to that, I mean, we've been doing this long enough together. I feel like I have learned this. When it comes to the team or us.
Oh, we lose.
Our audience chooses the team. And like there's an example. And, you know, I'm not going to go through my Twitter feed to show the receipts, but they're there. Team. When it comes, push comes to shove there. But, yeah, you just say less. Like, I could, again, it's never been difficult for me to understand that Kevin Adams would feel privately talking with his, you know, provided they're there occasionally, his management team.
When they're in town.
When they're in town. that, like, man, Florida, Vegas, no taxes, the weather. Like, we got, you know, we're in tough here. Like, sure, privately, you can feel that way. It's completely legitimate. You do not say that in public to the league. To the league's players, to the managers in the league, to everyone, and especially, again, your own players. You just don't. Everyone was laughing at him and them. Fireable. The moment it happened.
Nope. Just going to say, speaking of weather, it right now is 86 by my phone here in Amherst, Miami, 84. We can't even win on summer because it's too hot in the summer there, right? But no, I saw a map yesterday. Like everybody's riding a heat wave. Boston, I think yesterday was 102, but Miami was like 80. Stop it, Miami. Stop it. It's bad enough what it's like in January.
Right. We're all roasting.
You should be roasting.
You're cooler than us?
Yes.
That's not right.
Trista's down there.
It's not okay.
Really? By the way, yeah. Like, oh, it's nice and cool out. It's just
no.
Are you in Portland? No, I'm in Miami, Florida. It's just perfect out in the summer.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That shouldn't happen. That should not happen. Boston 102. You're not going to get back on the 100-degree horse this year? More action on will it be the first year ever?
No.
Look at how it's starting. We're almost 90, right?
Yeah.
And it's still not even July. Come on. Let's go. Let's see some action here.
I rushed that.
100 degrees.
If I could start over now and get, but I'm chasing.
Yeah, you are.
I don't want to do that.
Don't chase.
Yeah.
Don't. Sending money, bad money after lost money or something.
Right. Well, however that goes. It's just not.
That's not how it goes. Something along those lines, I think. Good
money after bad. I don't even know if that's
I don't know.
Either. Let's stop.
Ryan is next. Hello, Ryan.
Thank you for being there, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, so going back to the NFL kickoff here, the one thought I had on all this is, you know, if you kick the ball out of bounds, it goes to the 40. If you kick a touchback, it goes to the 35. So where does that, like, change the strategy with trying to pin them closer to the sideline when you're kicking off, possibly? It's only that 5-yard difference.
That's a good question. What's the perfect kickoff? The perfect kickoff is caught at the 3 in the corner, right? That's what you want. But you can't cut it too close, because if it goes out of bounds, that's bad. So I think that's, like, outside the hash marks, inside the 5, but not in the end zone. If it bounces in the end zone, Bulldog, that's not the 35, that's the 20.
The 20, if it
bounces short
between
the end zone,
20 and the goal line. And that, yeah, I can't wait for a review to determine whether the nose of the ball broke the plane of the goal line when it landed and rolled into the end zone for a touchback. I can't wait for that.
I echo those sentiments.
It's going to be great. It's scintillating television.
I don't know, Ryan. You cared enough about it to call us. Do you think it could be interesting this year with this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some teams will have to make a decision, which they care more about, those 5 yards or the chance to pin someone back a lot farther. And I feel like, you know, ever since these changes happened, the Bills have been more willing to avoid the touchback. So just, you know, what sort of skills do the kickers have to do that placement?
Yeah. No, thank you, Ryan. You're raising a point I had not thought of, which is that the difference between the new touchback spot and the out-of-bounds spot is cut in half from last year, which should logically make you more willing to try the sideline. You know, you don't want to kick the ball out of bounds, but maybe you're more willing to kick for the corner. I love a review. I don't remember last year if there were any kickoff landing zone reviews. Were there any?
I don't recall.
But we're still champing at the bit for one, so no, we can complain about it.
It's a whole new year, though, so we shall see. I think the optimal kickoff is what I've said a couple of times, which is line drive, lands inside the 20, goes to the end. Nobody can field it. It's knuckleball, whatever. But that might be really hard to execute and trust, that you're going to get it to the landing zone. It's not going to go sideways and go out of bounds on you or whatever. But like that's if you're worried about the return game and you're worried about the 35 or the 40 with the sideline, that's the kick. But it's rife with pitfalls. I mean, it can go wrong. It has to be really precise, I think.
I look forward to, I think it'll come, predictions, analysis of what the impact will be is the 35 versus the 25 from 2 years ago and, you know, most recent years, enough of a difference to force, you know, quote, force the mm-hmm. kicking team into a different plan. And just like what percentages of drives that end up in points based on starting field position. I'm sure that's available data. Like, that's not something that has to be new. Drives have started at the 35 before. But just like what kind of a – how tangible a difference is that? How significant a difference is that? It's like – it's one first down, right? I mean, the 35 from the 25 is one first down. But you are – with kickers now, you are 30 yards away from scoring.
Right.
From being more than 50% to score. I think if you're at the plus 35, or at least the plus 30, you would be more than 50% to score points on that drive. You'd probably have to be. So maybe it's big. And maybe teams think it's big and won't kick the ball in the end zone, which is maybe what the league wants. And maybe then we're talking about kickoff returners as more important.
Like right.
Who is the 2025 version of Cordarrelle Patterson? Like, do we have how much of a game changer is that?
Right. You mentioned earlier Chenault being signed here, I think, is entirely about that. The trick with him is they had Corrington last year, who's a corner, but you know,
Codrington, yeah.
Codrington, thank you. Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. He played in the finale, I think, right? Like, he's not someone that's in the rotation. He's here because he returns punts and kicks. And Chenault has zero punt returns in his NFL career. He is not a dual return man. He returns kickoffs and it's not fielded punts. I don't even think he did it in college. I think I read when they signed him. So he is not an upgrade / replacement. He's a supplement. And will they keep two guys? Will they find someone else on the roster that is already here that, you know, is in the rotation to field punts and return punts? Are they going to keep two return men? You know, one for kickoffs? Because they would use two guys on kickoffs now, too. You're going to do that. So there's maybe a cause for it. But in the model that the Bills have got going right now, recognizing that this could change, like if Chenault is here and isn't really of any value as a receiver, like on the offense, and Carrington is not of any value really on the defense as a corner, I don't think that's optimal at all. I do not want to have two roster spots. Unless the kickoff becomes so important, which it could. I suppose that's in the window. You know, maybe they'll make a determination on that in the preseason to some extent. Because they've always valued having that specialist. They've gone out and sought that player out. They traded for this Carrington at the end of the preseason to get him in here. So I just don't know if it's worth it. I feel like that could be an overreaction to the new rules. Like, I've got two specialists now who really are not helping me on either side of the ball, and they're here just to do that. Man, that's tough, I think.
803-0550 for your thoughts. Thanks, Ryan. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
A split that I found really interesting when I was looking at Josh Allen's stats this offseason was that he was second QBR versus zone coverage, ninth versus man. That's not a Josh Allen stat. That's a Bills receiver stat. And it's not bad, right? We're talking ninth overall. But when you're talking about an offense in Buffalo that faces a ton of man coverage, in part because defenses now are so afraid of the run game, it honestly is the kind of thing that is the difference between them making it to a Super Bowl or not. You need one of those skill players to step up as a true 101 man beater, someone who can give you big plays downfield.
Here we go. Mina Kimes.
Brandon Bean on line one for Mina Kimes.
Not completely sold that the Bills have enough at receiver. Bean somewhere. What do you mean? Josh Palmer. What do you mean? 30 points a game. I don't get it. I don't understand how anybody could think this. We found one more person who kind of does. It's cruel if it's like last year. This is how it is, though. You can go the whole season and beat everybody and then win two more playoff games. One against a Ravens team that was at least your equal. And then you go to Kansas City, two-time defending Super Bowl champion, and have the lead in the fourth quarter. And what's the takeaway? I really could have used a better wide receiver here on this team at some point. Like, is that ridiculous to say? No. It's maybe right. It's just, there's like so few moments there ultimately where it costs you, if it can be said that it cost you. So can one drive be a referendum on your roster?
I mean, you'd like it not to be, but these 2 years, they've had the opportunity to win those games with a score late, or at least take the lead late. You know, see how they would have managed the clock and how much time would have been left. And so it is not invalid to say they needed to do something with this defense. The defense had a very rough year. I mean, the 40 points against a couple times in a row there, Lions and Rams. I mean, they had a rocky year by a lot of different metrics, not just the points scored. The takeaways kind of saved them. And that in and of itself is a part of my defense when, you know, thinking about Bean being so hot about how last year went and pointing at the points. And like, we did this. Like, you know, you had maybe an incredible year takeaway-wise and giveaway-wise that, like, sure, some of that is coached in and you're prioritizing it and whatever. I give you as much credit as I think is reasonable to do. But to avoid the presence of luck within it is, I think, it's short-sighted. And so, yeah, you did do that, but how bankable is it? And that I think remains unanswered. If they put it on the board again this year, and well, if either thing happens, if they have an incredible year with takeaways again, okay, well, boy, you're really lucky 2 years in a row. I guess more credit to you than for last year. Or if they just find their way to 30 points a game without the takeaways, then that might be more time to point at the scoreboard. But I think it's still okay to be uneasy about it because of this, the point Mina just made there and how the season has ended the last 2 years. You've had the ball with a chance to go win the game and you haven't been able to. So, all right, how great is your offense? I mean, it's great enough to score all these points, average, whatever, but nut cutting time, I need a first down, I need a touchdown, I need whatever I need. I need somebody to get open. Where am I? I'm folding. I've lost. Because I really do feel like it's right to say, this is my opinion, I think you have felt likewise over the years, I would much rather be down by three with the ball at midfield around the two-minute warning then up by three playing defense in that situation against that team. I've got the ball. I got my best guy out here. Let's go do it. Let's go take it.
What about at your own 20? Two minutes.
I think I still would rather do it.
That's kind of where I am, too.
I think I still
midfield
would rather.
Midfield is too easy to...
But that's where they've been the last 2 years. They were around midfield last year, and in the year before, they were even deeper than that. Like, they were in field goal range.
Yeah, I think it was like the 30.
So...
Maybe even deeper.
It's just, you know, football is like this. Like, everything can be true, and everything can be argued against, however true it appears to be. So, yes, the defense needed supplementing, overhauling, even if that's not too strong a word. I mean, they went hard at it here, but the season ended the last 2 years with you having a chance to win it on offense, and you haven't come through.
January 24 home playoff game, they were at the 26. The Bills drove to the Kansas City 26, and were there at the 2 minute warning, down three.
I do think AFC Championship game, Super Bowl, whatever the magnitude of the game, I think I would sign right now for that. I want to be there again.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, I know they haven't come through. So, yeah, I'd rather shut them out too, or hold them to 13 points so that all I need is two touchdowns and I can win the game. That'd be great. But nothing. They've had that chance. And that, I don't think, should just be, you know, blown off and ignored in all, within all the defense trouble that they had last year.
I have looked at this drive so many times. I've been on the ProFootballReference.com 23 playoffs Chiefs at Bills page so many times. It's amazing I don't get ads for this page somewhere. This page has never tried to sell me anything. I've looked at this so many times. It started with Diggs. Well, it started right, you know, when they lost. Like, what really happened here? 8:23. They get the ball with 8:23, down by three. They end up, the way it went, using too much clock. Because they went 6 minutes, or almost seven minutes, and didn't score. And so it was one first down and then kneel downs. If they go three and out, I mean, maybe Kansas City drives for a touchdown and you're beat, but if they don't, they're almost in a better spot. Mm-hmm. Because you can't play like that. I've looked at this page so many times, this drive even, so many times, because of Diggs. Because Allen goes 6 for 9 on the drive. Again, this is the home playoff game 2 years ago. 6 for 9 on the drive. 0 for 3 to Diggs, 6 for 6 to everybody else,
including the bomb on the first play, right?
Yep. Kincaid, Knox, Kincaid, Allen first down run, incomplete to Diggs, Allen run, fumble, Spencer Brown recovers it, Allen to Shakir first down, Kincaid, Cook stopped, first down to Sherfield, and then you have the final series. Cook has stopped, the 2 minute warning. The
incompletion of Shakir
in the end zone.
Right.
And then the
third down
jailbreak.
Is like a scramble to the right sideline and a yep. prayer, right?
And then the missed kick.
Right.
I should sponsor this page. Yep. But that'd be weird. I mean, it's a Bills playoff loss. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want your name on that.
They used to have that. Maybe they still do. They Baseball Reference, it's the same organization, used to have. You could sponsor like a player page, and I would sponsor my great uncle's page. So I paid Baseball Reference yeah. and had my name on it, like you get it for a year or something. Like one of those highway signs.
Sure, okay.
You know, yep. this area yeah, right. is beautiful because of, you know,
the Kiwanis
Outlet
Club
Liquor
or whatever. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You ever think about that? Maybe sponsoring a stretch of highway? How much is it?
Has not come up. I have no idea. No.
It'd be cool to see your name on that blue sign, though.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
People drive by it like, oh, Bulldog sponsored. No wonder. The road needs to be taken care of.
Right. That's
all the potholes here. This is Bulldog's fault.
That's a real problem for me. Yeah. I'd be like Kramer out there trying to fix the road,
yes.
right? When he's
that's funny.
I'd be out there with a wheelbarrow and trying
this is my road.
I gotta fix my road.
Yes. Tonight, Max Scherzer is pitching for the Blue Jays. Finally, he pitched right early in the season and got hurt and left immediately, but he's back tonight. They activated him. They're in Cleveland. That is then a FUBO game, I believe. That would
yeah,
be a FUBO game.
Yeah, I noticed that earlier, and I think that might be the go-to for me.
I think so. The Yankee game is MLB Network, but it might also be, yes, Yankees-Reds,
okay,
which was interesting last night. So Scherzer for the Blue Jays, 2.5 back.
Yeah.
Tampa's 1 back.
Look at you, Blue Jays.
Of the Yankees.
Tampa.
The Yankees are losing a lot now.
Continue to find ways, Tampa.
They do, right?
Year after
they're
year.
They're super annoying like that.
Yep.
They're always pretty good.
Maybe I should give them a chance this year because they're not playing in that dome. Because it kind of blew apart.
Yeah. Maybe you should.
That was a callous way to say that. Whatever. It was damaged in a hurricane. So
you say it blew apart. Yeah, it did, though.
I know, but it just sounded...
It seemed like you were insensitive.
I didn't like how it sounded. But yeah, now they're playing outside. Maybe I'll feel differently about them.
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, really, it's almost July. You haven't thought about it one time turning out a game.
Not till just now.
No.
Yeah.
But Toronto's close. Yankees in Cincinnati again. Yamamoto for the Dodgers tonight at Coors against Sam's Rockies, who are 30 and a half out. They've stabilized
the
Rockies.
I was going to say, are they back to losing games regularly yet, or are they...
they're not hot.
For them, maybe it was hot. I don't know.
Last night, I think it was 9-7, Dodgers. I mean, that's the Dodgers.
Right.
But Yamamoto at Coors will be interesting. Maybe. I'll be listening to the Bronx Zoo again on my drive home. The book. I'm loving it. Right to late June, right about now on the calendar.
Oh, that works.
Yes, but I'm not going
to
just...
You're not going to be able to pace it out into the fall here. No,
I'll be done with this book in less than a week.
Right.
But I'm to really almost none of the good stuff yet, 78 Yanks. Like Martin leaving and like the...
Well, the summer is the comeback, right? Yeah, because it's July 1st. They're 14 behind or whatever it is.
Is that the number?
I think 14, 14 and a half. 14 is the number I've got in my head, and I think it's July.
It's 11 and a half where I'm at in the book.
Yeah.
So it's not peak.
Right.
78 Yanks down big like that. You had to win the division to make the playoffs. Imagine that. And they do.
Well, yeah, they force a one-game playoff and then win the one-game playoff. Yes.
Right. Did I spoil anything there? Or did you? You said it. I didn't say it.
Yeah.
I said they win it. Remember the one-game playoff? Like, we still have this once in a while. Those are regular season stats. Did you know that? Like
the stats
from that game count as regular season stats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So whatever Reggie hit that year, he hit a home run in the playoff.
Right.
Former guest on our show, Reggie Jackson, Reginald Martinez Jackson.
I
crazy,
you know,
dog.
You're a kid in the stuff you remember. I can still, do you recall, I don't know how well you know the game and the history of that game.
Quite.
Pinella with that fly ball to right field that he cannot see at all. The sun is a weird time for a game, and the sun was just brutal there. It was like a 4 o'clock first pitch or something, and just tough, tough sun. And he can't, you can see, he's like just like, but he manages to stay in front of it.
It bounces in front of him, and it bounces to the toward the corner, and he just stabs it. Like, how did he even see it in time to stab it? But it's a huge play.
Yes. Yeah, there's men on base. I mean, there's a reason that it's a huge play. It's not just, you know, the leadoff hitter or something, and he would have had a double or who knows what. But, like, it would have been runs, and no. Or at least a run, I think.
I will find out. What that situation was. I've been resisting the temptation to go to that page.
Oh, don't do it now. It's fine.
I'll find. I don't know it was late in the game. What was the situation? I've been resisting going to that page because I don't want to, like, the day to day, the drumbeat of that season, I don't really remember or know. So I'm sort of thinking, oh, I'd like to look and see, like, how many games back, and certain games are kind of interesting to hear him talk about. It was a game that was 9-9, and Reggie and the center fielder, Blair, maybe, like, ran into each other for a game-ending inside-the-park home run in Kansas City. Like, stuff like that I've wanted to look up, but I didn't want to because finish the book first.
Right.
But I'll get you that Pinella answer. Also, we'll find out what his three nicknames are going to be, probably, at Baseball Reference, like every other player. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR. Lou Pinella.
Big Lou.
Nicknames, you mean?
Yeah.
There isn't any. There's not one nickname on his Baseball Reference page. It's either three or
is
none.
Is this like Wikipedia? Can we add stuff? Or do I have to buy a sponsorship?
Can you go in there and edit it? No.
Yeah, no,
I don't think so.
All right. Big Lou.
There was one of these yesterday, and I forget.
He's just like you.
Favre or somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, Big the play, so it's the bottom of the ninth in Fenway. 78 playoff.
It is the bottom of the ninth.
It's the bottom of the ninth. 5-4 Yankees. They got up 5-2, and then Boston got two in the eighth, maybe, for 5-4. Seventh or eighth. It's 5-4, bottom of the ninth. Gossage gets the first out and then walks Burleson. And Remy is up. And Remy, line drive, well hit, into right field. As soon as the camera gets to Pinella, his arms are out like this.
Right.
Like I don't know where the ball, I can't see the ball.
Yeah, he looks frozen and scared.
Where is the ball?
Right.
It bounces 5-6 feet in front of him, maybe a little more, and kicks right, which, you know, that's his glove hand on his left hand, which that's good. Mm-hmm. And he's able to stab and catch it and throw it in. Burleson then stops at second. Burleson is around second, and Pinella just quickly throws the ball toward third, and Burleson stops and goes back. I think he would have been out. The throw wasn't perfect.
If he tried to go to third, yeah,
yes,
sure.
The throw wasn't perfect, but right. I think he would have been out. And then Rice flies to right, deep enough for Burleson to go to third to tag, mm-hmm. and then Yastrzemski pops
out. Foul third to Nettles. Yeah.
Yeah. What was Lou Piniella's career high in homers? He played 18 years.
16.
A 12. Mm. He hit 11 four times. He hit 12 once. I would have guessed like 24. He had 102 home runs in his career over 18 years. An average of 9.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
9 per season. Different era, but, you know, guys hit... Foster hit 50 in 1977.
Lou Piniella, he kind of looked... He looked about as athletic when he was playing as he did when he was managing. Like, I don't feel like he looked a lot different. So, like, we're not talking about a fast guy. We're not talking... I don't know, maybe he was really good in... Oh, I mean, he made a game-saving, pennant-saving play in right field. Right?
So, pretty much.
That counts for something, I suppose. Like, how do you survive that long without power if you're
what
him?
Was his...
Like, what was his thing?
What was his thing?
Because I don't think it was stolen bases.
No.
So
he hit for average.
Yeah, okay. That was a very respectable thing back then.
Career 291 hitter.
All right, that's...
But not much power, no speed. Good enough defensively, I guess.
Oh, that play. So, yeah, I mean, that's... That ball, right field, too, right? So it kicks right. It gets past him. It's to the wall and rolling towards center, and maybe the center fielder has to come get it.
No, it's going to the right field corner.
Right, but I mean the way that wall curves. I mean, if
it would have only. I'm sorry. I just watched it.
Okay.
No, it wouldn't have made it.
It would have settled around the.
It might have made it to the wall. It might have made it to the wall.
I see. So it wasn't like in danger of rolling around.
No.
Okay. Good. Thank you for correcting me. But still, he misses that ball. Burleson scores.
I think so.
And Remy's on second at worst.
That's right. Then what is our history? Then it's Bucky who.
Right.
If Boston wins, who cares about your fancy home run after you sprayed that stuff on your ankle because of the foul ball off your foot? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? You lost the game. Who cares?
I feel like I can still remember walking home from the bus that day.
Before the game.
Yeah. Like getting off the bus at, 3:15 or whatever, like... Man, one game playoff, Red Sox, Yankees. Like, I cannot wait.
I think I remember watching it. That's the best I can do. I've always thought that I remember watching it at age 6 at my friend Todd's house. We would have been at his house to watch the game together. I think we did that. I just can't say for sure because I was six.
Right.
But I've always thought, like, I watched that game. I can picture where I think I was in his house. If it wasn't this game, it was another game. Like, where the TV was and where I was sitting to watch the Bucky Dent game, which would not be called the Bucky Dent game if not for this play by Pinella. Probably. Even if Boston ties it and something else happens for the Yankees to win.
Yeah, whatever else happened is that. It's not.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it still would be improbable for Bucky Dent to have hit the home run, but it would not have the lore that it has.
Maybe he hits another one in extra innings.
All right, thanks for that.
How many home runs did he hit that year? Man. Pinella hit six. So it probably wasn't more than that. Now, I'll go look that up. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.